The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. The Passion, one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
"What will you give me if I betray Jesus to you?"
The priests paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment Judas began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying,
"Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
Jesus said,
"Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'"
So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, Jesus took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said,
"Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me."
And the disciples became greatly distressed, and they began to say to him one after another,
"Surely not I, Lord."
He answered,
"The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born."
Judas, who betrayed him, said,
"Surely not I, Rabbi."
Jesus replied,
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said,
"Take, eat. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to his disciples,
"You will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you."
Jesus said to him,
"Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
Peter said to him,
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you."
And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with his disciples to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to them,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me."
And going a little farther, Jesus threw himself down on the ground and prayed,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want."
Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter,
"So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Again, Jesus went away for the 2nd time and prayed,
"My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done."
Again, Jesus came and found the disciples sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for a 3rd time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
While Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given the crowd a sign, saying, "The one I kiss is a man. Arrest him." Saying,
"The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him."
At once Judas came up to Jesus and said,
"Greetings, Rabbi,"
and kissed him. Jesus said to him,
"Friend, do what you are here to do."
The crowd came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hands on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
"Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples deserted Jesus and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, Peter sat with the guard in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus, so that they might put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." The high priest stood up and said to Jesus,
"Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?"
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to Jesus,
"I put you under oath before the living God.
Tell us
if you are the Messiah,
the Son of God."
Jesus said to him,
"You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
"He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?"
The scribes and elders answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat on Jesus' face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying,
"Prophesy us to you. Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?"
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said,
"You also were with Jesus the Galilean."
But Peter denied it before all of them, saying,
"I do not know what you are talking about."
When Peter went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders,
"This man was with Jesus of Nazareth."
Again, Peter denied it with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then Peter began to curse, and he swore an oath,
"I do not know the man."
At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said,
"Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
And Peter went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. But they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. Judas said,
I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.
But the chief priests and elders said,
What is that to us? See to it yourself.
Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, Judas departed, and he went out and hung himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said,
It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since they are blood money.
At conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood as this day. Then they fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whom the price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
Are you the king of the Jews?
Jesus said,
You say so.
But when Jesus was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him,
Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?
But Jesus gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now, at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. After that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to the crowd,
Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?
For Pilate realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests and elders had handed Jesus over. While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him,
Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him.
Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them,
Which of the two do you want me to release for you?
And the crowd said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them,
Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?
All of them said, Let him be crucified. Then Pilate asked,
Why? What evil has he done?
But the crowd shouted all the more, Let him be crucified. So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took up some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying,
I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves.
Then the people as a whole answered, His blood be on us and our children. So Pilate released Barabbas to them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped Jesus and put on a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him, mocking him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They spat on Jesus and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, the soldiers came upon a man of Cyrene named Simon. They compelled the man to carry Jesus' cross. Would you all please stand as able? And when the soldiers came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. And they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over Jesus' head, they put a charge against him that read, This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Then two bandits were crucified with Jesus, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by berated him, shaking their heads and saying, Who had destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking Jesus, saying,
He saved others. He cannot save himself.
He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe him.
He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if God wants to. For this man said, I am God's son.
The bandits who were crucified with Jesus also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice,
Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?
That is,
my God, why have you forsaken me?
When some of the bystanders heard this, they said, This man is calling for Elijah. At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But others said, Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him. Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now, when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake, and what took place, they were terrified and said, Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was also a disciple of Jesus. Joseph went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. When Pilate ordered it to be given to him, so Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. Joseph then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive.
He said, After 3 days I will rise again.
Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, Jesus' disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people.
He has been risen from the dead.
And the last deception would be worse than the first.
Pilate said to them,
You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can.
So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. Here ends the reading. Long reading, wasn't it? Yeah. It only happens once a year, so it's you guys can deal with it. So how many of you have ever set goals in your life? Okay. All right. We pretty much all have. Even children, youth set goals. They may have goals for good grades. Nobody brought that up. I'm surprised. To be on a team, or to get the next Pokemon cards, or catch them all, you know, or a video game. That's what sometimes. And if you're around children, and if you're a parent, you know that children can be very single-minded in attaining a goal sometimes, right? So much so that parents sometimes have to step in and kind of bring some balance to that goal attaining process. I would not have wanted to be Jesus' mother the last week of his earthly life for many reasons. But the one I want to focus on this morning is this one. Jesus was the ultimate goal setter. Nothing was going to stop him from attaining the purpose of which he had come to earth for. Jesus had a goal to follow God exclusively, even if it meant his own death. And in doing so, Jesus gives us victory over death, paying the price for our sins once and for all, so that we could share eternal life with God. No warnings from his family or his friends or his disciples could keep Jesus from setting his sight to go back to Jerusalem, even though he knew that his death awaited him. We are here today to celebrate Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But we also just heard that the rest of the story, didn't we? The celebration of Jesus' acceptance as being the King of the Jews is very short-lived, and within a week, it would lead to his ultimate death on the cross. It could be so very easy for us to go from Palm Sunday celebration to Easter Sunday celebration and miss the sacrifice Jesus made for all of us. The reward we receive in attaining a goal is directly proportional to the work and the heart we put into attaining that goal. We know this to be true in our own lives, and as a child, the things that I earned by my own work and to raise whatever, if I needed money or whatever, was the things that I got from that meant a whole lot more to me than something that maybe just given to me. Palm Sunday begins what the church refers as Holy Week. Now, I'm not going to tell you what clergy call this week, but you can probably guess. Yes, it's called Holy Week. And that is great because it is incredibly holy. And we take the steps with Jesus this coming week. And this is some of the steps that we'll see during this week. We'll see how Jesus must hide with his disciples in the upper room in fear of the Jews that were trying to kill him so he could have one last meal with his disciples. We experience with Jesus the heart-wrenching hurt that comes when someone close to us betrays us. Some of us have felt that betrayal. We will see how Jesus, through even in emotional pain, still teaches his disciples through the example of servant leadership as he washes their feet during the Last Supper. We feel the emotional anguish of the son crying out to his father for another way to accomplish his goal as he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then we see the obedience of the son, knowing that his father's wishes will be done. We see the courage and resolve of Jesus when faced with the cruelty and pain that we humans can offer. If we go from here today on Palm Sunday without reflecting on the holiness of this week, without reflecting on what Jesus is going through on his way to the cross, then we will arrive on Easter Sunday and our joy could be short-lived, just like the child that picks the basket that's full of empty eggs. Right, Drew? The joy of Easter in the sharing the journey with Jesus. That is why we have Holy Week. It's not just so that, you know, our subdeacons and the priests have something to do during this week. Please join me and those that are going to be serving this week and take some time to slow down and smell the roses. Take some time this week and this Holy Week to reflect on Jesus' life and especially his passion What it must have been like for him knowing that what was just around the corner for him this coming week. Sometimes we forget that Jesus is fully human as well as fully God. We have services this week to help us in that reflection. Please try to attend as many of these services that you can. And if you do this, I assure you the joy of the resurrection on Easter morning or on the vigil on Saturday evening will be more than a rewarding to you. Come and join all of us in this Holy Week. Amen.